Just going to do something a little bit different tonight. Whenever we have a night of worship, I always ask God for something special. And, God's always faithful, right? So some of us just spent the first part of the week down in Atlanta at the Deep South Calvary Chapel Pastors and Leaders Conference. And wow, how the Lord spoke. I can't even impress on you how powerfully the Lord spoke to those of us that were there. It was so clear that one of our staff said, we need to change the password for the security cameras in the office because somebody is spying on us and listening to our staff meetings. Because like so much of what the Lord spoke this week was directly for us. You know, God was confirming some things and encouraging, and it was just amazing. And as I started thinking about tonight, it's a worship night, what are we going to talk about? Up on the screen, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, and that is how God speaks. And there we go, how God speaks. And I want to speak to you tonight, and I want to show you a number of ways. These are not the only ways that God speaks. But I want to talk to you tonight about some of the primary ways that God speaks, and then I'm going to end with what I believe is probably the most important way, at least that we would learn to listen to God. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, Lord, just speak through your word as we talk about how you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you know this story. Samuel was a miracle child, and his parents prayed. They wanted a child, especially his mother, and after a while, God answered. And so he came along according to a promise that God spoke, and as he was a young man, he's handed over to the priest Eli in the temple, and he begins serving. Chapter 3 records his first prophecy, and I think you know the story. He's laying it in bed, and he hears a voice calling to him, Samuel. And so he got up out of bed and he went to the priest Eli and he said, yeah, here I am. Eli's like, what do you mean? He says, well, you called me. He says, no, I didn't call you. So he goes back to bed and it happens again and then it happens again. And so this keeps going on. And then I want you to look down, if you would, verse 10. Just before this, Eli says, hey, I think the Lord's speaking to you. And so next time, just say, hey, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so in verse 10, the Lord came and stood, and he called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. And then the Lord said to Samuel, and he gave, we're not going to even look at what God said, but what he did is he told Samuel that he was about to do something very unique. And the interesting thing is that God spoke to Samuel, and he gives him his first prophecy, and he basically tells him, it's time for you to start using your spiritual gifts. And you're gifted with the gift of prophecy, and I want you to go, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to Eli, the high priest. And God tells him that Eli is going to be judged because as the high priest, he has been allowing his sons to do sinful things. And much of the Old Testament is this way. God speaks to somebody and says, I want you to use your spiritual gifts. And in a lot of cases, it was the gift of prophecy. And then they would go and they would speak. Sometimes it was a confrontation. I thought about Moses. You know, Moses is out there in the wilderness, and God has been cultivating Moses' gifts of leadership. And then at just the right time, God leads him to the burning bush. He speaks to him, and he tells Moses to go give Pharaoh a word of judgment. You know, if you don't let my people go, going to be trouble. And much of the Old Testament is like that. I'll give you an example. And you can make your way to the book of Acts now, but I'm going to give you some Old Testament examples. Obadiah, you know, we're going through the minor prophets on Wednesday nights. And Obadiah was one that we studied maybe 2 months ago, and the beginning of the book of Obadiah, I want to read that to you, because in Obadiah, it says here, verse 1 of Obadiah, there's only one chapter, it says, the vision of Obadiah. And so with Samuel, God spoke in an audible voice that he either heard with his ears or he heard in his mind. We don't have all of those details. It looks like it was he heard it in his ears. Obadiah, God speaks to him in a vision. And that word vision is really interesting. As you look at the Hebrew and the Greek word used for it, it can speak of like either when you're in a state of sleep, so this would be maybe a dream, or it can be when you're maybe in a deep state of prayer, a deep state of worship. In Peter's case, the New Testament word trance is used, but don't get weird with that one. You know, it's not like, well, I was in a trance. It's not like that. It's you're in an altered state. For Peter, he was hungry. It could have been low blood sugar combined with just this deep time of prayer. You know, we don't have all the answers, but what we do know is that with Obadiah and with Peter, God spoke in a vision. And he gave in the mind or in the dream a picture of what he was going to do. You remember with the Edomites, remember that? The cousins. And in this book, God just basically lays out. He says, I am going to judge the Edomites. I'm giving you a vision, and you can write it down and you can proclaim it. We just read Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God spoke to Jonah, either in an audible voice or in his mind. Jonah was called with a personal message. Jonah, you go exercise your spiritual gift of prophecy and exhortation, evangelism. You go to Nineveh. And then when you get there, notice the message had a second application. You tell those Ninevites that if they don't repent, I'm going to judge them. In fact, he didn't even go that far. He just basically said, go tell them judgment's coming, and they knew they needed to repent. So God speaks in all these different ways. Malachi, I know I asked you to turn to Acts, but just flip back to the left a little bit. Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, I want you to see this one. Chapter 1 of Malachi, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord of Israel by Malachi. We don't even know how the word of the Lord came to Malachi. We don't know if it was a vision or if God spoke. More than likely, he spoke. But the Holy Spirit chooses to give us the word burden. God puts this heavy burden upon the Old Testament prophets because what they did was heavy. I don't think any of us in here, is there any person in here that just loves confrontation? You wake up every day and say, man, I hope I get in a fight today, you know. If you do, you need a lot of help. We do counseling here, but for that, we charge. No. The burden. God speaks this heavy, heavy burden to a prophet named Malachi, and he says, I want you to bear this burden and now take it and deliver it. And what I love about the book of Malachi is it's a little bit different. It started with a confrontation of Israel's sin, and then a correction, a call to repent, and then a list of blessings if God's people would listen. And so God speaks in all these different ways. I want you to be in Acts 16 next, or no, 13. Acts 13 is where I just want to focus the most attention tonight. Then we'll look at an application of it a little bit after. And Acts 16 lists something like you and I are doing here tonight. We call this a worship night because it's a night where we are ministering to the Lord. It's a worship night because we've set aside most of our teaching. We've set aside announcements, everything. Our goal tonight is to minister to the Lord. We just want to show him our love, our joy, our appreciation. Chapter 13, verse 1, in the church that was at Antioch, and this is that church we've been talking about a lot on Sunday mornings, Antioch of Syria, north of Jerusalem. This is where that major, major spiritual renewal was going on, where Paul and Barnabas were sent out of. This is that story. It says, the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. So again, men called to lead in the church. Spiritual gifts and offices are listed here. We got the prophets and the pastor teachers. Notice we have Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger. You got Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. This is definitely a red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. Just look at this list of people. Just very diverse group of Jews and Gentiles, and they're just all gathered. They're worshiping, but specifically I want you to see that they are ministering to the Lord. In verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. We're seeing all these emphasis, every time God speaks, on people identifying and then using their spiritual gifts. Have you seen that? Especially in the Old Testament, all these men with the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, Moses with the gift of leadership. There is all this exhortation for men and women to use their spiritual gifts to do the work of the Lord. Well, here you got Saul and Barnabas. They're actually the pastors of that church. Looks like Barnabas was the senior pastor. Saul at that time was brought alongside to assist him. And as they're ministering to the Lord, I want you to notice the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I called them. How did the Holy Spirit speak? Look back at the first verse. What do you see there? Someone shout it out. Prophets. The Holy Spirit spoke because as people were gathered and they're worshiping the Lord, there was an opportunity for the gifts of the Spirit to be exercised in a public manner. To be able to experience, God is putting something on my heart, and I'm just going to stand here and mull it over and pray over it for a minute, and then as the Spirit really, really prompts me, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Last night at the pastor's conference, we were having a time of communion and then just an extended time of worship and letting the Holy Spirit move. And Pastor Sandy got up and he said, okay, you know, let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak. And let's just sit and listen. And he had asked some of the regional leadership team to come forward and pray with people. So I'm up at the front. And as I'm standing there, there's just this message burning on my heart. Just burning, and I'm like, Lord, it's just too generic. I, you know, in a room like this, what I'm about to say could just sound so fabricated. So I decided to bite my tongue, and I'm listening, and all of a sudden, like I'm shallow breathing. Like the Holy Spirit is just like, Randy, I gave this to you. Speak. And I don't like drawing attention to myself. I mean, I'm comfortable with you guys up here, but most of the time I just want to sit in the back row, you know. I'm good at that. And so I spoke out and I said what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. I said, there is a pastor's wife here in this room who is ready to quit. You don't think you can go on anymore. And The Lord is saying to you, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I thought, okay, I've been obedient. I'm done. And then the Lord prompted me one more time, says, there's one more thing. And I said, I need to add to that, that you're feeling this way because you're trying to bear your husband's burden. And I don't know if I said, he's the pastor, you're not. I don't think I did. And then afterwards, I'm like, this is a room full of pastors and wives. There's got to be at least one here, Randy. That's just so generic. You made that up. And it just kind of how I'm just, I don't want to misrepresent the Lord. And I'm kind of looking down and I look up. And about four rows back, this lady's moving into my line of sight. And she goes like this. She just goes, it's me. Thank you. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Okay, the Lord speaks through his people, to his people. And it's so important that we learn to discern the voice of the Lord, and then we be bold enough, especially in a venue like this, to minister to one another, to speak. Read one more thing here. Verse 3, it says, then having fasted and prayed, then they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Whoever the prophet was in the room that night that they were ministering to the Lord was bold enough to speak, and they didn't just go, well, thus says the Lord. So, you know, because some kook could have walked in the room. Thus says the Lord, you must all give me all your money. Well, thus says the Lord, let's write a check, right? They waited out. It says that they, again, fasted and prayed some more. Later in Corinthians, Paul would write that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. To those that are leaders in a church body who have been proven to be solid teachers, and maybe they've spoken a prophecy that has come to pass, or they've given a word of knowledge, and someone comes forward and says, oh yeah, you were speaking to me tonight. That they're proven and they're trusted as leaders in the church, they're called to weigh out what's said. So we've had times, I had a lady on a Sunday morning come forward and she said, Pastor Randy, and she was a visitor. She goes, Pastor Randy, I've got a word from the Lord for this church. And she said, I'd like to get up and give it. And this is like towards, I think it was in fellowship time, you know, in between the worship and the teaching. And I said, well, you tell me first, and then I'll tell you if you can give that word to this congregation. And she said, I'm a prophetess of the Lord. And I felt like saying, there's the door. Seriously, because my job is to protect. So I said, go ahead and give me that word. And it was a harsh rebuke. And I said, I will not let you stand and speak that to this congregation. And she sat in about the second to last row and glared at me for half the message before she finally got up and stormed out. I was so happy she left. And I think she meant well, but she wasn't even part of this body. She wasn't connected to walk in from the outside and to rebuke you guys. I wasn't going to let that, because I know that what she was saying was not accurate of this body. But I think there's been times when we're gathered and we're worshiping and something is burning on somebody's heart, and you just sense, this is from the Lord, this is for our body. Sometimes it's for an individual. We see that in the book of Acts also. There was a prophet named Agabus, and he comes to Paul, and he kind of gives a living prophecy, and he says, you know, the man that owns this belt, and he ties himself up, he goes, he's going to be bound. And sure enough, it came to pass. You know, it was a personal prophecy for Paul, but it came to pass. We know it was true. Let me show you one more thing of how God speaks, and then I'll end in Hebrews 4. Just flip a few pages to the 16th chapter of Acts. Paul's on a ministry trip. Verse 6, they've left the area of Galatia, and they're trying to figure out where to take the gospel. And they have started in the east, and they try to go north. I'll just read it to you. Verse 6 of chapter 16, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Wow. They wanted to preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit stops them. They're trying to kind of go north. And so notice it says here, verse 7, after they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, actually, this is when they're going north. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now they're going back to the west. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. God speaks sometimes through circumstances. They had come from the east. They tried to go north. God stopped them. They tried to go south. God stopped them. Is there one direction left they can go? West. So they just kept moving. And they end up at Troas, which is near the edge of the continent. And they go to sleep that night. Paul wakes up. He says, hey, God spoke to me in a vision. And there's a man of Macedonia. And they end up in Philippi, start planting churches all over Europe. Circumstances oftentimes God uses, but circumstances usually lead to some defining moment where God speaks. And so we've talked about a few things, but I want to end and get into our time of worship with Hebrews 4. Everybody knows this verse, Hebrews 4:12. But I will tell you that if you're seeking God, you're praying, you're not experiencing the voice of the Lord, you're not experiencing visions from the Lord, you're not experiencing someone coming to you with a word or a prophecy or something like that, God will always, always, always speak through His Word. And this is crucial, and the Word has to actually be the determining factor as to whether the other things were from the Lord. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living. It is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God is always going to speak through His Word, and every other way, if someone says, God spoke to me audibly, God gave me a vision, someone walked up and said, I've got a word from the Lord, or a personal prophecy, any of these things, it always has to be weighed through the written Word of God. I know a story of a guy who walked up to a woman in a Bible study, a home Bible study in Albuquerque, and said, the Lord spoke to me tonight, and she was actually very beautiful too. The Lord spoke to me tonight that you're going to be my wife. And she looked at him and she goes, let's see what my husband thinks about this. And so on that one, I guess you'd go and say, definition of marriage, a man and a woman, not a man and a woman and a guy they met at a Bible study, right? The Word of God is always the final arbiter of whether God is speaking or not. God is never going to speak or give a vision or a prophecy that directly contradicts His Word. You know, it's just the old story of the guy that says, hey, God told me I'm supposed to divorce my wife and marry my secretary. You know, really? That's what God says? Yeah, well, I prayed about it and God said it's okay. It's not okay, because the Word of God says it's not okay. So this is what's on my heart tonight. Anybody in here, you're to a place where you're like, I really need to hear from God on some specific thing. You know, there's always lots of stuff. If you're here tonight, you're like, I really need to hear from God on some specific thing. Okay, first and foremost, search the Scriptures. And then ask, God, speak to me from a secondary, trusted source. Show me the Scripture, and then have one of these people in this room that I know love me, have one of these people walk up to me the next couple of days at church or text me and call me and say, hey, the other night when PR was speaking, I just felt this this thing in my spirit, and I feel like I'm supposed to come tell you this. Does that mean something to you? And it might be the confirmation that they're looking for. God led them to a scripture. But be careful, you know, with just waking up one day and going, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, and I'm going to say God told me. Because I've heard that too many times, and you guys have heard it. We don't want that. So I'm going to be bold. I'm going to ask Spencer to pause between songs for a little while. And if you believe that God has given you, you know, a word that's just general for the church, be bold. Stand up and speak it. If you have the gift of tongues and you really, really know how to biblically speak a tongue, let's trust that there will also be here some, there'll be tonight someone with the gift of interpretation, and that the Lord would give a blessing through a tongue being uttered. If there's someone in the room and God puts them on your heart and you have something for them, maybe it's a scripture, maybe it's an exhortation, maybe it's a word of encouragement, get up, walk across the room, just say, hey, I want to share something with you. That's the way the body of Christ is supposed to operate. Paul said when the gifts are operating in the church, all things are going to be done decently and in order. And I do feel a leading to just say this, and I've gone on much longer than I expected. Sorry, bro. He prepares all these songs. I always tell him, we're going to need a bunch of songs tonight, and then I talk for too long. But if God, if you believe that you have the gift of tongues, if you look at the scripture, the tongues are exercised. It's never a message to the church. It's never a correction to the church. Tongues is always going to be a word of praise and exaltation given to the Lord. And so if you have the gift of interpretation and someone speaks out in a tongue, please, please exercise your gift. But let's trust that the Lord wants to speak tonight. I've done a lot of talking. Let's ask God now to do it. Lord, we see in the scriptures there are all these spiritual gifts and we see people exercising them. And right now, Lord, we just want to say, now, Lord, would you speak? We're going to sing a song and we're going to pause just for a few seconds. And we're going to ask, Lord, that if your people are ready to be bold and begin stepping out, operating in some of the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, tonight, pour your Spirit upon us. Lord, bind us together through some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that oftentimes believers are scared to exercise, or they've had bad teaching on these gifts. Lord, you move tonight, please, in a way, Lord, even if it's healing and restoration, Lord, whatever you want to do here tonight, please move among your people. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.